And now, O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be pleasing to you. Amen.
Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the other beasts of the field that the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry, and the tempter came. Today is Invocavit Sunday, which is, if you want to call it by its technical name or what the old traditional name was, or if you want to just call it what it really is, the first Sunday in Lent. And during Lent, in the olden days, it was a 40-day period in which people prepared to be baptized and to join the church. It was a period of meditation. It was a period of learning. It was a period of kind of solemnness, really, preparing for what took place on Easter, the great joy on Easter. But before Easter, there was Good Friday, wasn't there? Later, these 40 days became more associated with Jesus in the wilderness, or Moses on Mount Sinai for 40 days, or, for that matter, Elijah spent 40 days, if you look into Kings and go way back in the Old Testament. And I hope you will someday read that. Hopefully, today, the season of Lent is a season for us of penitence and contemplation on just what Jesus had come to do. He has come as a man, as a human, like you and me, to fulfill what we could not do ourselves. His Father sent him to help us, to do for us what we could not do. And that was to be holy, to be without sin. Because God cannot stand sin. Sin cannot be in front of God. Now, if you could all just stay just a little longer today, I think that I can go through all these theological points, and I can get us out of here maybe by 2:30. What do you think? Oh, okay. I know that we all have other things to do. So let's just talk about temptation today. How's that? Temptation is that desire to do something. It is a thing, of course, that an action that attracts you, something you see, something that you want. It's makes you really desire it. And in today's reading, we see that Satan has a very good playbook when it comes to temptation. Let's look at some of the devil's best plays. First, note that he always picks a time of weakness when he comes. And that's for you, for when Christ, on 40 days. He only spoke to Eve when she was alone without Adam and tempted her and was most vulnerable. And by her being vulnerable, he was able to twist God's words. Did God really say? He only showed up at the Israelite camp when Moses was on Mount Sinai with God. And of course, they couldn't see God or hear his word, and they lost faith and built a golden calf. And that wasn't good either. If you look at Elijah, he had just defeated 400 prophets of Baal. Yet here comes Jezebel, the king's wife, and says she's going to kill him, and what's he do? He runs and hides out of fear. He has lost trust in the Lord. That's what the tempter's playbook looks like. Now, Satan had a similar plan for Jesus on those days. He knew that Jesus was weak. He'd been in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights and been fasting and praying. That's when he arrived with his bag of tricks. In his first attempt, he tried to convince Jesus to prove that he was more than a man by throwing himself down off the temple. Jesus had a similar plan for Jesus, and we were told that Jesus had been praying and fasting for 40 days. This is when Satan arrived with his tricks. In his first attempt, he tried to prove, convince Jesus that he was God's son by turning the stones into bread. And of course, unlike the Israelites, Jesus didn't take the bait. He said no. And, you know, of course, back then, Moses and the Israelites, God sent manna and quail to feed them. But Jesus does not require that. In fact, he says, man does not live by bread alone. Now, what a surprise that was to Satan. Because all of a sudden, here is a man that is acting like God's original creation. Here is a man that acts like they should be. Satan now pulled out the old trick he used on Eve. And he took Jesus to a high point in the temple. And he quotes him Psalm 91. And that's what we read. And again, Jesus fights fire with fire and quotes back to the Satan, Deuteronomy 6. Jesus has won that theological debate. Finally, one last trick. One that Satan knew that no man could refuse. He offered Jesus all the power and glory and whatever you can think of in the world. He offered him the whole world. And what does Jesus say? Begone, Satan. A victory at this time. Satan will now come again, and we read in the scripture, to test our Lord at Gethsemane and on the cross. But praise be to God, Christ has always been victorious. We read at the end of this battle, the angels came and ministered to Jesus. And they strengthened him. And they will do it again at the Garden of Gethsemane. And they will do it after his victory on the cross too. Now, it is really notable that this first temptation took place after Jesus' baptism. After he was baptized. And that's what that's when Satan will be looking to thwart you too. To keep you from becoming God's child, or having your children become God's child, or your grandchildren become God's child, no matter what age. As Luther often said, we baptize this child, and we do him no favor, because we made him an enemy of Satan. Now, temptation comes in many forms today, but they all have basically the same plays. We allow Satan to remind us that we're of our old Adam, that we were sinful. And that causes us to forget our baptism, where the old Adam was drowned, and we are covered with the robe of Christ's righteousness. We forget God's words. We allow somebody to twist them into a different meaning that leads us to thinking different things and leads us astray down the wrong path. We forget what we say in the Nicene Creed. He became incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and was made man. Now, that's important that he was made man, because Jesus, in his life, had more troubles, more temptations, more evil things than any of us ever will have. Except he did it without sin. And because of this, if you confess your sins and believe in him, you have everlasting life. We have this promise in 1 Corinthians. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful and will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Now, you may be asking yourself, well, how can I do this? How can I endure and escape? Please consider the following. In the prayer our Savior taught us, we say, but lead us not into temptation. Luther, in his letter to his barber explaining how to pray, says this. Say, O dear Lord, Father, and God, keep us fit, alert, eager, and diligent in thy word and service, so that we do not become complacent, lazy, and slothful, as though we had already achieved everything. In that way, the fearful devil cannot fall upon us, surprise us, and deprive us of thy precious word, or stir up strife and fractions among us, and lead us into other sin and disgrace, both spiritually and physically. Rather, grant us wisdom and strength through thy Spirit, that we may valiantly resist him and gain the victory. Amen. God also gives us a means of grace in which we can turn to him when we're tempted and where we're tried. You find him right here. You find them in the baptismal font here at Concordia. You find them in the altar, Concordia. You find them in the word that goes out to you all. They're here every week. And now, you remember I told you about the angels and how they came and attended to Jesus? Do you not think that God will send angels to you to protect you? After all, he sent his own son to die for you with his blood. So pray and ask for help. It is really impossible to keep Satan from attacking us all. He does use the same methods that he's used since time ad infinitum. He used on Eve, he tried on Jesus, planting doubt in God's word, causing us to falsely interpret God's word, and that, you know, like the world would like us to believe, that it's okay for abortion, like it's okay for homosexuality. In other words, forget the law and the gospel, especially the law. And also by convincing us that we are lost forever, just as he did to Judas Iscariot. Judas walked by him, and he lost faith. The Satan tempted him, and he took his own life. There is a great difference, and this is really important, a great difference between feeling temptation and yielding to it. Some will experience more temptations than others. Youth have the experience of physical temptations. Older folks have temptations for wanting worldly things and things of the world. And old guys that study the scripture get tempted to fall into other paths that they shouldn't. So we're all tempted. But perhaps we could be like the old church father used to say when talking about temptation. He says, I cannot keep the birds of the air from flying over my head, but I can sure keep them from making a nest there. And that's what we should do too. The fact that and here's the beauty of this thing. The fact that Satan tempts you is an indication of your value to God. You are a seed capable of producing a harvest for God. That's why you're his target. He is after that deposit that God put in you and is with you today. So keep fighting the good fight. Put on that armor that Paul talks about in Ephesians, knowing that God will be with you and you will win the struggle. As I mentioned in the first part of this sermon today, it's called Invocabit Sunday. And the meaning comes from the 91st Psalm. When he calls, I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. And this is the heart of the matter. No matter how you are tempted or tried by Jesus, no matter what comes into your life, just all you need to do is call out in prayer, and our Lord will bring you his peace. Amen.